Welcome to the teaching ministry of Pastors Carl and Cheryl Thomas. Our favorite verse is Habakkuk 2:14, "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." Consumed by that revelation, we are committed to recognizing, resourcing, and releasing high-impact ministries resulting in global glory, transforming lives to impact their world. We have a teaching that will impact you today. Now, let's get right into that word.
All right. Praise the Lord. Father, I just thank you so much for today. I give you praise and thanksgiving for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all you are about to do in our lives. I thank you, Father, that today, Holy Spirit, you are welcome to move up and down every aisle, move in and out every row, touch, heal, deliver, set free. Whatever is wrong, make it right. And Father, I just thank you that today we come into a great deep understanding of the shoes that we wear, the part of the armor, Father, that you have given to us and blessed us and offered to us to put on a daily basis. We are careful to give you and you alone all praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, I got like four sheets. You guys are going to have to just bear with me. Amen. All right. So, how's everybody this morning? Amen. As we're carrying on this series, What Not to Wear, we're going on into, as God is showing us, what we're supposed to wear. All right? And today, as Pastor said, we're going to be talking about the shoes of peace. So let's just go to our text scripture, in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. We'll read from 10 to 18. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." Brethren simply means comrade in arms. We are soldiers in the army of God. "Be strong in the Lord." The word "strong" there simply means increase. So be increased in the Lord and in the power of his might. "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand or stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take you unto you the whole armor of God," not just parts of it, the whole armor of God, "that you may be able to withstand the evil in the evil day, and having done all to stand in your victory." That's what I put beside "stand," because your stance simply means how your outlook is. And my outlook is Jesus has already done everything for me, right? My outlook is victory is already on the cusp. Victory has already been accomplished, amen? So why put right there? Because a lot of people say, well, stand. How long am I going to stand? Oh, pastor, oh, sir, miss, how long do I have to stand? No, you stand standing from a position of victory, amen? All right, so here, put these things back on. Okay, "stand in your victory. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and have you on your breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith." So there's obviously there's armor that is more important to God than others. It's what he said here, above all the other armor, taking the shield of faith. Why does he say that? Simply because without God, it's impossible to please him without faith. That's why he said, above all, take the shield of faith, right? "Taking the shield of faith, wherewith you will be able to quench every fiery dart of the wicked one, and taking the helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now, that's six pieces of armor, right? I have believed in the past that when I first read this, I believe there's a seventh piece. I took it up with God. He said, "It's okay. That's all right. You could add another piece if you want." Yeah. So that verse there praying always in the Spirit. I liken praying always in the Spirit to the spear, the lance that the Roman soldier used to use. And just for, I'm not preaching on that, but I'll give you a synopsis of it. Basically, if the Roman soldier could kill his opponent with the spear, he would not have to engage in close combat, right? So you see where I'm going with this. Praying always in the Spirit. Your praying in the Spirit creates such a barrier between your enemy and you. That is your seven piece of armor. Now, there's sometimes you're going to have to take out the sword and whip them good with it. Amen? But if you can take care of a situation long off, far off before you have to engage in close proximity, then why not? Amen? Praying always in the Spirit. With all perseverance. Okay, let me move on. Shoes of peace, verse 15. And it says, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm just going to teach this morning. Amplified says, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness and the readiness produced by the good news. How is your shoes of peace going to work? Produced by what? The good news. It's the word of God. And I was having a conversation with some family, I don't know, about a week or so ago, week and a half ago, that sometimes I get a little irritated how people want this quick fix, yet they don't want to do what the word of God says. They don't want to take the time, their precious time, to sit under the word until you get excellent, until you get proficient and efficient in using this thing and yielding it and wielding it like the sword it is. But people want to come and they want this quick fix. Oh, Pastor, pray for me. Well, why can't you pray for yourself? Amen. You can't pray for yourself because you've not yielded yourself to the word of God to know how to pray for yourself. Amen. So, the shoes of peace is produced by the word of God. It's the gospel of peace. It's good news peace. Amen. Okay. So anything that I've ever learned about the word of God, I've always asked myself, okay, I learned something. How do I get it? Well, good news is we've already got it. We've already got it. But you need to be aware of receiving it, understanding it, and using it the way God has given it to us to use. Amen? And we need to receive it with all diligence. That's what I was talking about, when people need to be able to sit under the word to proficient their lives in it. Receive it with diligence and the functionality of walking in his shoes. You know, these shoes are his. They're not yours. There is a, Jesus had to offer these shoes to you. When he accepted the cross by faith, he had to, when it was all done, he had to offer these shoes to you. He offered for you to get into those shoes and walk around like he did. Now, I gotta tell you, let me see here. His shoes are one size fit all. That's what I love. I love to know that God's shoes are one size fit all. Whether you're a 12-foot giant or whether you're a little 5'3 gentleman like myself, I can fit in his shoes. Amen? These shoes fit me. Amen. In the first part of Ephesians 2, 14, in the New Living Translation, it says, "For Christ himself has brought peace to us." Amen. He brought it to you. He's offered it to you. All you had to do was receive it. Amen. John 14, 27 says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. So let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." The Apostle Paul started all of his books, "Grace or divine favor be unto you, and peace or freedom from all fear, from our God and from the Lord Jesus Christ." He set you up before he started to preach at you. He wanted you to understand that God sees you in these shoes. Amen. He sees you in these shoes. Whether you put them on or not, that's your business, but he already sees you in these shoes. Right? His peace possesses all understanding. His peace is higher. Now, if he said here in John 14, 27, not as the world gives, give I unto you, that must tell me that there is a fraudulent peace that's offered by the world. And it comes through different things. Cars, you know, houses, all sorts of things. People can think that they can find peace, or it's offered up, as the world says, as their peace that makes them peaceful. Tell you right now, there is a lot of entertainers and people that are, and sports figures that are making millions and millions of dollars that have absolutely no peace because they don't have his peace. Amen. They got a fraudulent side of peace. Amen. So what do, folks? We make or develop a habit intentionally to get dressed with the armor every day. Think about it. Your shoes are the last things you put on before you head out and map out your day, right? Your shoes are designed to bring you comfort, stability, and protection. Most importantly, they take you where you want to go, most of the time comfortably. Now, you remember what verse 15 said? In the Amplified, it said stability to face the enemy. And then Romans 16, 20 says, and the God of peace, not you, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. Now, years ago, when I used to take Kenpo Jiu-Jitsu, my sensei used to, you know, teach us a stance. And I didn't stand like this, because when any of us stood like this, he'd come over without you even knowing and just like knock you real hard, and you would lose your balance, fall off, and then you'd have to do like push-ups and all that sort of stuff. He'd give you a stance that when you came in to start your session, it was this horse stance. You got all your weight down so that you are immovable. You're stable, amen? That's what God expects from us. The Word of God will get you in a place where you are stable. So when stuff comes, you cannot be moved. And the shoes that Jesus has given you will bring that stability. Amen. Now, I gotta tell you, I love my kicks. I love my shoes. Before I met Sarah, I had way more shoes than I do now. Especially my running shoes. So I really believe Jesus loves his shoes too. I believe Jesus enjoys his shoes, and I believe he has all types of shoes, like I did. For example, let's see here. I think Jesus has some big steel-toe boots. Well, why would you say that? Well, I think he finds it fun sometimes to go around just kicking the snot out of the devil's head. You know, boot, you know. So because you know how steel-toe boots are, they're just massive, and it when he says crushes Satan under your feet, how are you going to crush Satan with a flip-flop? You know? All right. So I also believe that Jesus has some sweet running shoes, right? And I believe that he puts those on to move quickly through you, moving quickly from place to place, evangelizing the gospel, moving around. Telling people about Jesus, telling people about the peace that they may be missing in their lives, that he is their peace. I think Jesus has got some Superfly dress shoes, right? Why would you say that? Well, I think he likes to rub in the devil's face, how he shows the devil how the unlimited supply of prosperity that he has for you. Shine it off. Shine it off, you know, bling, bling. Yes, amen. And lastly, I believe Jesus has a pair of flip-flops or sandals. And that simply is for you to stroll around without a care in the world. You are not supposed to take on care. One of the things that irks me the most when people tell me, take care. See you, Steve. Take care. No, I will not take care. God bless you. You know what, folks? You either take the word of God for what it is or you don't. Jesus told us, or the Apostle Paul told us, cast all your care over on him, because why? He cares for you. We're not to take the cares of this world. The shoes of peace relinquish any type of care. When you have those shoes of peace on, you can't care less. You could care less about what people say about you. You could care less what people think about you. You could care less what the devil is saying about you. I can't tell you how many times I told the devil, I just don't care. Amen. I've cast my care over on him because he cares for me. Amen. Praise God. Okay. Now, there is one set of shoes that I just don't understand. And I don't have them, and I do believe Jesus does not have them either. And that's those high heels. For some reason, I have no idea what the purpose of these things are. Other than maybe, well, what did I write down here? You know, they don't bring comfort. I know that. I know they don't cause stability. People walk around like this all the time. You know. The only thing that came to my mind was, it may show some protection offered when, you know, if you need to like take one off and need to chase somebody with the heel, whip it at, you know, because I got a few of those laid on me when I was a little boy by my mom, you know, get some heels thrown at me. But that's about it. I just don't understand the purpose of these heels, but they look good. They look good. Who tell me? Oh, Nancy will tell me. All right, Nancy. Yes, praise the Lord. All right, so the shoes were so important. And we're going to look at the Roman soldier's perspective of it. His shoes were so important. They believed their boots were of a vital importance, that they spent or budgeted the same amount of money that they would for their shoes or for their sword on their shoes. Because the shoes, they had to be strong, they had to be durable. You remember now, they didn't have kicks like we do today. They were pretty much sandals. So you had open-toed shoes, but they had to find as much covering on their shoes before they went into battle. They must give great protection, and they must give stability and balance. And you are not going to want to go into any type of a battle in high heels. It is not going to work. Maybe Nancy, but it's not. Most of the time, it's not going to work. All right. Each part of the armor had a certain direct dependency with each other. They needed each other and worked perfectly together. Psalm 85:10 says, "Righteousness and peace have kissed each other." Isaiah 32:17 says, "The effect of righteousness will be peace." See, that's part of righteousness' job, is to produce peace, internal and external. And the result of righteousness will be quietness and confident trust forever. So you can see here that righteousness and peace go arm in arm. They are needed together. So you've got to ask yourself this question: why am I not experiencing peace? Why am I not experiencing the peace of God? Why am I not experiencing peace with God? Well, then I would say to you, then maybe you need to check up your righteousness walk. Not saying that you need to do something to become more righteous. You can't do anything to become righteous. It's walking in that victory of what he's already done and made you righteous. And with that righteousness, you walk in a certain level of confidence, knowing who you are. The greatest thing I like to minister to people after they get born again is teach them who they really are. That's what God wants. We've had the masks on too long sometimes. We need to take the mask off, and we need to stand in the place where God said, this is who you are. Did he not say in Genesis that you were made in his image? Yeah. That was back in Genesis, way before Jesus. Still, they couldn't understand it. Now, Jesus has made it a way for us to be able to say, I can fit in these shoes, Jesus, because I know, I don't just believe, I know I belong in these shoes. Amen. Praise God. Amen. All right, where are we going? Let's see, how are we doing? Good, good. All right. There is a proclamation. Well, let me read the scripture. Isaiah 32, 17 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who proclaim peace, who bring good tidings, who proclaim salvation, who say to Zion, your God reigns. So there's a part you need to play with this. You need to open up your mouth and proclaim. Proclaim the peace of the gospel. Proclaim the gospel of peace. Amen. What do? We walk and proclaim. We walk in his righteousness and proclaim the peace of God. Walk and proclaim. What are we proclaiming? That he rules and reigns in our lives. Amen. Come on, Impact. You got to understand this. He rules and reigns in your life. That's what we walk in, that righteousness, and we proclaim that peace. Sounds redundant, but that's what he told us we're to do. That's how we fit the shoes. The shoes may not be too, we step in and we don't feel, they don't fit quite too much, too good. No, maybe we need to check back. Yeah, the righteousness walk, the love walk, all these things. Is my faith in action? There's all these things we need to pull together to make those shoes fit perfectly. Okay, so let's quickly define peace. In the Hebrew, as most of us know, it's shalom. Completeness, soundness, health, prosperity, security, wealth, welfare, and many others. In the Greek, it's irene, harmony, concord, security, safety, prosperity, felicity, and a peace and harmony that makes and keeps things prosperous. Harmony simply is just getting along with folks. Why do we have to be struggling so much in the body of Christ? Why are we so easily offended? Why? Peace is not, you're not in the shoes. I learned something a long time ago, not saying I've worked it out perfectly yet, but I'm learning that, you know, because of God's grace, sometimes as believers, we will come under fire. Jesus said we're going to have persecution, right? For his name's sake. Something happens and you come in under attack. People start accusing you of stuff. You know that's not true at all. All you need to do, you're right in the center of this attraction and all the right in the center of this attention. The best way, instead of having to feel like you have to, respond, react, because that's what a lot of us do. Responding is good. Reacting is not. And we do react more than we respond. You need to step out of that circle. That circle's empty now. And now you out there looking in. Oh, yeah. So what we are called to do, folks, walk in this peace. If the peace is working, offense is very difficult to be received. We have to be walking in these shoes. All right. So my example, Gideon's life. He had a life lesson. Judges 6, 23 and 24. But the Lord said to him, peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die. 11 words. That's what God said to Gideon. 11 words. And at that moment, God revealed to Gideon a character trait of his. And what did Gideon do? He praised God, and he then went to built an altar right there. When God said those 11 words, he built an altar right there. And he called it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken, nothing lacking. It became revelation to Gideon at that moment. God seared that on his heart. It was that point where Gideon sat down in the rest of God. And he did. He stopped worrying. He stopped trying to figure stuff out for himself. His circumstances did not change. But what changed? Gideon changed. Gideon changed. Same for us, folks. When adversities come against us, people come against us, bad stuff comes against us, the enemy's just doing what he knows to do. Why aren't you? Why aren't you doing what you know you're supposed to do? He's not going to stop and roll over for you just because you come to church on Sundays and you praise God a little bit and you get a little word written to you or a little word preached to you. No, we got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. That's why we need to be able to do this in the most efficient way. Sit down, rest. He changed. The peace of God entered into the conflict. See, now, when you sit down and rest, God goes to work. And God came into Gideon's situation. He came into Gideon's situation of conflict, tension, hostility, turmoil, and he enabled Gideon to go and move in from a place of firm-footed stability, walk out the purpose of God for his life. So Jesus put on these same shoes in Mark 4:39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And what happened? It says right there next, "And the wind ceased and there was a great calm." This, when he said, "Peace, be still," it was not a suggestion. The winds had no way of saying, "Okay, you know what? No, not today, Jesus." No, he commanded them, the winds, sea, everything, "Be still." So in some of our situations and circumstances, folks, slipping into those shoes, we need to just say, "You know what? Peace, be still. Be still. It's all well. It's all good." Amen? It's all good. Luke 24:36. "Now as they said these things, Jesus himself stood up in the midst of them and said to them, 'Peace to you. Stability be to you. Soundness be to you. Completeness be to you. Health and prosperity be to you.'" That's what Jesus said. Peace is not the absence of conflict. It is the presence of justice. I'll tell you a quick story where this helped me out. This November will be 5 years my dad's been passed. And when he passed, 4 years prior or so, my mom had early onsets of dementia. And, you know, I'm not going to go into all great detail and so forth, but it was like when he passed away, it was like I lost both of them at the same time. My whole world was crumbling around me. For the first time, I had not felt loss like that and total helplessness in all my years. And then I asked my wife, I was a blubbering mess. I didn't know how to pull it together. Until one day I just said, "No, enough's enough. I will grieve my father." But the Bible says that there's sadness in the night, but joy comes in the morning. And I had to take that, and I had to say, "Peace, be still. Lay hands on my own head. Peace, be still." Because my mind was going every which way. If you want to, you know, if we're ever in conversation, I can give you some details and stuff, but it was just a utter turmoil. What did God say? Right in the middle of your turmoil, he said 11 words to Gideon, and Gideon sat down, he rested, and God got in the situation. I'm telling you that if it were not for the grace of God and for the peace of God, I don't know how I would have been able to function after that trying time. It was a very, very difficult time. Okay, I'm going to wrap up here. We have a firm foundation to the characteristics and the functionality of the shoes. And we've heard that saying, "No God,
no peace."
No peace. No God, no peace. Right? Job 22 says, "Acquaint acquaint now yourself with him. Now, there's other translations that say submit. I prefer that. Acquaint, I find, is really, I'm going to acquaint myself with Jesus. No, I'm not going to acquaint myself with Jesus. I'm going to submit myself to him. It says, now yourself to him. Agree with God. See, a lot of believers have a problem with agreeing with God. Yeah, they get the word preached to them, but they leave the church or leave wherever they are, and they don't agree with what God has said. You know how you agree? You say, I believe, I receive. Matthew 18:22 says, if two of us here on earth agree, as touching anything, ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you of my Father which is in heaven. That's enough. That is enough for me. I have prayed things that a lot of people do not know. But nevertheless, as Jeff said, I am standing in that agreement with what God has said, what he has for me. Amen? Come on, shout amen, somebody. Amen. All right. Acquaint yourself with God. Agree yourself with God and show yourself to be conformed to his will and be at peace. Peace brings rest. Rest brings trust. Trust brings manifestation. Isaiah 48:17-18 says, the Lord your God who teaches you to profit, who leads you in the way that you should go. Oh, that you had hearkened to my commandments. Hearkening unto the commandments of God. Hearkening unto the word. It goes back to what I was saying earlier. Take the time to sit under the word. Let the word of God teach you. Let the word of God bring confidence and bring faith to a new level in you. Then your peace and prosperity would have to be as a flowing river. And your righteousness, the holiness and purity of the nation, like the abundant waves of the sea. Obey his commandments, peace and prosperity, like a flowing river. One side. The other side, disobey his commandments, and peace and prosperity are like a drip from a faucet. How can you go through life relying on a drip? No, man, I want to know that every time I turn that faucet on, I'm getting a floodgate. I'm getting that. I've opened up the floodgate, praise God. Okay, before Jesus, we did this stuff to get God to move. After receiving everything that Jesus has already done for us, we simply rest. Rest in the shoes, rest in the feet, rest in his peace and prosperity, wholeness, joy, and expectation. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers. You are not called to be a peacekeeper. You are called to be a peacemaker. If it is not convenient for you, be a peacemaker. You don't wait for somebody else to come and make the peace or try to keep the peace. We make the peace. So if there is something you have a disagreement with your spouse or a friend or a family member, you make the peace. I'm not saying all of us are good at it, proficient at it, but we're working on it. Amen? We're getting there. I certainly am not. Sarah will tell you, there's some disagreements we've gotten in that I don't automatically step up the plate and want to make peace because I want to be right. But that's what the flesh wants. The Bible wants you to be at peace. And if peace is disrupted in your home, there is chaos. You seek peace. Pursue peace. Be a peacemaker. Amen? Okay, last story. Sorry, Carly. Last story. Amen. Then I'm going to wrap up. I'm not going to, maybe Pastor Wood can read these off next week. He gave me a few things he wanted to share with you about standing in the firmness of his peace. Maybe I can run through it real quick. This story. We exercised this. 2005, we got married in Jamaica. And wedding was great, beautiful, great vacation for everybody. There was about 25 of us that went down from Canada. We were at the end of our vacation. We're ready to leave. And the day we're ready to leave, Hurricane Dennis decides it wants to show up. So, well, what do? They cancel all the flights, shut down the airport, everything. Stop moving. We were stuck at the hotel. The course of Hurricane Dennis was supposed to hit Montego Bay drastically, and that's exactly where we were. Now, you know, I had some family that was getting a little shaken. My mother-in-law, no, don't tell her I said that. No, powerful woman of God. But we had to do something. We had to take the authority that Jesus gave to us, presented to us. We went up into a room. Jeff can what's the word, Jeff? Contest. That's a good word. Attest. That's better than good. All right. Thank you for helping me out, folks. Jeff can attest to this because he was there, was in one of my groomsmen, and we decided, you know what? Enough of this. It was getting bad, and I said, enough of this. We're going up into a room. We went up into one of our rooms, and we prayed. We did exactly what God told us to do. We did exactly what Jesus did in Mark 4. We stood up, looked out the window, and we said, peace, be still. You will not destroy this island. You got to talk to stuff. You need to know what Jesus said. The Bible says that Jesus has been given a name above what? Every name. It's Hurricane Dennis. They name hurricanes. So we had to speak to Dennis and say, Dennis, you ain't coming here. You have no authority here. And I don't know if it is, I don't know if I want to take full credit for this. If there was any other buddy on the hotel that was praying, I want to believe that we did our part and we prayed and we cast that thing down. Do you know the hurricane moved its transgressory, I think that's the word, trajectory. Man, I need to brush up. Help me out, Lord. Praise God. It changed its trajectory, whatever. Anyway, and underneath, and it went to the south end of the island. It barely did hardly any damage because in Montego Bay, there are a ton of hotels, and it could have did a lot of damage. It was a Category 4 hurricane. The majority of the hurricane was out in the ocean or in the Caribbean Sea, but the outer part was just hitting the outer part of Jamaica. I'm telling you, folks, that we decided to slip into those shoes that day. We all decided to slip into those shoes that day and say, no, peace, be still. We have this peace, folks. This peace, just like every other part of the armor, is a vital portion and piece of your everyday walk. Every day you wake up, put on that helmet, put on the breastplate, slip into the shoes, take up your shield, take your sword, grab your lance, your spear, and go on out. We don't wrestle against flesh and blood, folks. We don't fight people. We wrestle against principalities and powers. They're already defeated, but you remember what I said earlier? We approach battle from a position of victory. We've already won. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Did you get blessed? Amen. There's a man, I tell you, my wife loves, you know, she tells me I speak too much. But I'm a teacher. I like to really dig into stuff, and I need people to understand foundation before they can go out and do. Jesus said, sincere the sincere milk of the word, but then he said, don't stay there. Move from milk to the meat. Move from the meat or the milk of the word to the meat of righteousness. Amen? Praise God. All right. Why don't you all stand to your feet? God is good. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Just another piece of the puzzle, folks. Just another piece of what God has for us. He expects us to walk in it efficiently, proficiently. We can't be Sunday armor bearers and armor wearers. We gotta wear the armor every day. It's a good thing to wear God's armor. Amen. Attack is gonna come from all sides. But with the armor on, there is nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, no demon, no devil, Satan himself cannot touch you, cannot harm you. Are you kidding me? When Jesus has offered this armor to you? He already took a whooping from Jesus when he went and paid the price at the cross for you. And he came back and offered all this armor to you. How many will you say will take up the armor today? How many is going to take up the and slip into the shoes today? Those shoes of peace. Amen. I decree and I declare over every single one of you right now, you have the peace of God in and on you for every situation, every circumstance right now. And you can say to your situation and circumstance, be still. You have no mouth here. You have no authority here. You serve a big God. You serve the greater one who lives on the inside of you. Thank you, Father. If you have never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior, I want you to come and meet my Jesus today. If you come and receive him today, he's going to offer that armor to you because he loves you. He loves you and he has made covenant with you. If you've never accepted him before, I want to give you this opportunity. Slip your hand up. I want every eyes closed, all heads bowed, just for a moment. If you've never accepted him, if you need to rededicate your life back to God, slip your hand up. We have prayer partners up here at the front. When I call them, they want to pray with you. They want to encourage you. They want you to see what their shoes look like so you can slip into yours. If you've never accepted Jesus, please lift your hand one time, real quick. Come on. All over. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. I'm going to pray real quick here. Father, I am so grateful for my family here this morning. You are so awesome in all your ways. We love you with an everlasting love. You are so welcome, Holy Spirit, to move around in this place and minister and touch people, change what's in their lives that's wrong, and make it right. We thank you, Father, for your word. And we thank you, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, anyone who's put their hand up today that's not born again or wants to rededicate their life back to the Lord, we pray right now and we say with our mouths, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Repeat this after me. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, for the precious gift of Jesus. He was a gift, and I receive him now. He was a gift bearer. He was a gift bearer. And we thank you, Father, for him giving our gifts. We receive him now, and we give you praise and thanksgiving that we will never be the same again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Can I have the prayer partners come on up, eldership, whoever's coming to pray? If you have not come to the altar in a little while, and something has moved in you, sorry, I'm not going to say something. Someone, the Holy Spirit, has moved in you. Don't wait. Don't wait on it. Act. Move. That's what faith is. Faith has a corresponding action. Come on up. Let us pray with you. Stand with you. Amen. All right. Father, I just thank you for my church family this morning. Thank you, Father, for the day. I thank you that we are blessed. We thank you, Father, for all of the armor of God. We thank you that we put it on every single day. We thank you that we can slip into those shoes today of peace, walk out our righteousness the way you have called us to. We thank you, Lord, that the rest of the day will be a blessing and that we can be a blessing to others. Thank you, Father, for continuing to help us with the love walk and that love removes all sin. And we are grateful to you and thankful for all that you have done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God. God bless you, Impact. Love you. Amen.